Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, a Thursday afternoon. Exactly what is going on with the Virginia Parole Board and the associated players? Our friend John Burkett from CBS 6 has been following this story, investigating this story, doing actual journalism and reporting on this story. Now, you'll remember that the Virginia Parole Board decided that it was perfectly appropriate to release a convicted cop killer. They decided that it was perfectly okay to violate their own regulations and the law when it came to dealing with the family of Michael Patrick Connors, as well as the families of other crime victims. They had no problem with that. Playing defense on all of this all along has been Brian Moran, who is Ralph Northam's public safety secretary. Now, most recently, John Burkett found a 13-page report from the Office of the State Inspector General that said there ought to be a criminal prosecution pursued in this matter. 13 pages clearly calling out the outrageous actions of the parole board. Now, if you're like me, I think, wait a minute, 13 pages? Hold on a second. I thought that Moran and the rest of the guys had said it was a 6-page report. Well, it was this 6-page report that apparently they dealt with, but it was the 13-page report, if we are to believe some of the reporting, and I do believe John Burkett's reporting on this, that the 13 pages were apparently provided to someone who apparently said, yeah, we don't want to do that. Now, that's problematic any way you slice it. Even if it turns out that there is flawed reporting, even if it turns out that 13-page report was nothing more than a draft circulated around the office, you've still got a parole board that stinks to high heaven. So what do you do with that? Well, I will tell you that State Delegate Kirk Cox, who is one of the Republicans looking to get the nomination and then succeed Ralph Northam in the governor's office, sees this and sees some issues that need to be addressed. I'm happy to say that he's joining us. Kirk, thank you for being here.
Jeff, I appreciate it greatly.
All right, so tell me this, sir. You've been around the block once or twice. You've been a state delegate for an awfully long time, Speaker of the House of Delegates. You'd like to be governor of the Commonwealth. What would you do if you were sitting in that governor's office today?
Well, I've said very clearly, Jeff, I would fire the parole board. I mean, it is, you summed it up very well. And this is not some position I've come to lately. You can go back to August 3rd. Remember, right before we go into special session, we were sounding the alarm then on this whole situation. To your point, you know, a 13-page report becoming a heavily redacted 6-page report. The 6-page report was bad enough. So now we're finding out some things in the 13-page report, that are even worse about, victims' families not being notified, Commonwealth's attorneys, the parole board chairman advocating openly, it seemed like, with staff, to the release of Vincent Martin, minutes seeming to disappear, just a whole host of things. So I wasn't new to this game. And now we just see it getting worse and worse. So I've called on, obviously, Governor Northam to do that and said if he will not do that, Kirk Cox will.
And I'd like you to make clear for all of us about how the parole board is appointed and their terms of office, their tenure. How is that determined?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, governors have, a lot of people might know, have tremendous appointment authority, all the way from your board of visitors to your colleges to your K-12 board of education. So your parole board is gubernatorially appointed. And so it's basically, you've had two Democrat governors, don't forget. So this parole board is either made up of Terry McAuliffe appointees or they are Ralph Northam appointees. And so, and you've got, you know, Adrienne Bennett, who was the chairwoman under McAuliffe. And of course, I called on him, obviously, also to, you know, say that he would do the same thing. Of course, you know, we've heard nothing but D.C. statehood and things that have not a whole lot to do with Virginia. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is squarely in the Democrats' lap. All of these appointees are McAuliffe and Northam appointees, like a lot of gubernatorial appointees. This is why governor is so important, because, as you know, Jeff, you set the tone for all of these things, and they should be directly accountable to you.
Yeah, and what do you take of this, from this, that Ralph Northam has apparently just no concern whatsoever?
Yeah, I think you've got Governor Northam, who's got not enough concern, and then you've got the Attorney General, Mark Herring, and as you know, it's alleged that, you know, did that 13-page report find itself in the Attorney General's office, what was done with it. You know, and so you have a lot of really unanswered questions. And it's really interesting that, you know, we have, you know, and to your point, which is so good, we're not talking about some little administrative mess up. We're talking about letting Vincent Martin out, who brutally murdered, execution style, Michael Connor. And so this is the most egregious thing to me that you can have. And this is not some administrative slip up. This is, you know, someone, as you said, who killed a young, thriving police officer. And I just think it has to be addressed.
Yeah. Well, listen, I couldn't agree with you more. And I certainly hope that you get the opportunity to replace that. If you were sitting in the governor's office, Kirk, who do you look for in terms of parole board members? What would be your standard for soliciting applications?
It's a good question. You know, I've been working with people like Bill Carrico, who was a state senator and who was a state trooper. He's been working with me on a lot of these public safety issues. So people like that, who have, you know, that law enforcement background, that technical background. Jeff, I would say in all your appointments like that, you need people that don't have this political agenda, that are going to carry out the law, going to make sure that there's real testimony, that victims are notified. Your role is not to put your thumb on the scale, which clearly happened. And I don't care what board you're on, but this board, Jeff, this is life and death stuff. I mean, you're letting people out early that were murderers, et cetera. This is any board has responsibilities. But I cannot highlight enough how important this board is to get it right and appoint people that are serious, that have that kind of background that you need to do this.
Kirk Cox is spending a couple of moments with us, former Speaker of the House of Delegates. He is seeking the Republican nomination for governor. Adrienne Bennett, the former chair, is now a judge out in Virginia Beach. The vice chair of the parole board has now apparently been elected to a judgeship. Moving forward, is it possible that either one of them could be removed from their respective judgeships as a result of this scandal?
Oh, I do think so. I mean, I think this needs to be thoroughly investigated. You've got several avenues. You've got something called the Jerk Commission, which certainly looks at the integrity of judges, et cetera. So you have different avenues for that to be looked at. But you bet. I mean, if you look, once again, at a lot of what's been alleged, it is criminal in nature. I mean, when you're falsifying records, when you're looking at minutes being deleted, when you're saying certain things happen, when you're asking your staff to do some things, et cetera. So those things, and I will say that are alleged, are proven. You bet. I mean, that we don't want sitting judges doing that.
Kirk, for folks who would like to learn more about this issue in your perspective or your observations on other issues, what's the best way for them to do that?
Is, I appreciate Jeff, it's kirkcox.com, and we have, like I said, you can look and see where we put statements out on this. Very quickly, I put a bill in very simply this year that would say when the Office of Inspector General releases their report, it has to be released simultaneously to the General Assembly and the governor. We couldn't even get that passed, Jeff. So that shows you where we're at right now. So that's where you can go. You can see a pretty clear record well before I thought about running for governor on this issue.
I got you. Kirk, I appreciate you being here. That is Kirk Cox, former Speaker of the House of Delegates. His website, kirkcox.com, kirkcox.com. And as you know, we've been having everybody who is seeking that Republican nomination for governor, this could be a tremendous shot for Republicans in Virginia to actually, believe it or not, be victorious on a statewide level for the first time in, what, 13 years? I'm hoping against hope that my party actually gets it right. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.